So I went on a bit of a nostalgia trip recently, and I want to talk about something kind of specific when it comes to kids' cartoons. I want to know about cartoons that you wish went on longer. So this seems a little specific, so I'll go into mine first. Did you guys ever watch Mummies Alive?
Yeah. Oh,
I did
my
not.
Gosh.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Mummies no. Alive.
Oh, man, Tim, that show was so cool.
Yeah, it was.
So what it was it's this kid that he gets an ancient Egyptian artifact, and an Egyptian necromancer is after
yep.
him now because he has this thing. Except these famous Egyptian people, there's there's famous pharaohs and sorcerers and stuff like that. They also come back to fight this necromancer. Mm-hmm. So now they're protecting this 13-year-old boy from this necromancer. They came back from the dead just to fight this guy, and now they made best friends with the kid. Really good show,
man.
But the cool thing was that the animation style and the concepts of the characters were way ahead of its time. They would have magical transformations whenever a fight would happen where their powers would come out, and the animation was way too good for what it was. Please look up the trailers. Just go to YouTube right now, look up Mummies Alive the intro, and you'll be I need to watch the show right now. It was so fucking badass.
It was so good. Of course, my favorite character was the big guy who normally didn't have an arm, but when he unleashed his power, he got his second arm back and was just a
yes.
tank.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Their armor was the golden Egyptian thing. Oh, dude, it was so cool. If you look at pictures right now, you'll see it. It was a good show. Yeah, it only lasted. I looked it up earlier, and it was I think the first season had 30 something mm-hmm. episodes, which as a kid show that
right.
makes sense. But it should have gone on way longer. Mm. It should have.
Yeah, you mentioned we were going to be talking about childhood cartoons, and I immediately thought Tom and Jerry, but that went on very long.
Yes, yes.
I just wish it kept going.
That's true. I wish it would have kept going.
I think it's probably still going in some small way. So, yeah, I can't really think of one that didn't last long enough.
I was a huge fan of the show Shaolin Showdown.
Oh, that's actually a good one.
Good pick.
Oh, yeah. Took me a moment.
It did run for, almost 4 years. You could say, it had a good run. But that show...
That's a pretty short run, though, I think.
It gone forever.
I'm pretty sure it left on a giant cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It did.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think the story was they were waiting to see how good the toys sales did before they greenlit a fifth season.
I hate that.
Yeah. It wasn't really a cliffhanger, but it was clearly not the end of the series.
Right, yeah, just that show was one of the original kid shows that actually had, a bigger plot than just the episodic, stories for each individual episode, because there was betrayals and the fact that the bad guy would turn to the good side at some point. You had to actually follow a storyline, an overarching storyline throughout the whole series.
Yeah, they had a villain who was a bean, so it was basically a perfect show.
That's true.
With a slow accent.
On the flip side, though, the show that should have never existed but went on for 2 years was Ozzie and Drix.
Out of all the shows you think of, and that's the one?
That's just the one that's on this list, and I was that show just made me so squeamish. I don't even know why I watched it in hindsight, but
I had to Google what you're talking about, and I don't know why that ever existed.
Is that the one where it's the cell?
Yeah, the white blood cell's a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
That was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it's from the movie Osmosis Jones, and they made a TV show on there. Honestly, I didn't think it was that crazy, but it was something.
No, it did have some charm to it. I do remember seeing
the white blood cell shooting, killing the nicotine in the kid's brain so he wouldn't stop smoking or something.
Yeah, that's fair, nicotine's not good for you.
Yeah, because if I remember the whole thing, it was from the movie, it was the same character, so he went from Bill Murray, mm-hmm. basically, into a kid, so he already knows all this shit, going into it. So he's like, oh, okay, so this is a young kid's body. He's not influenced by all this shit. So as soon as it happens, he's like, oh, crap, we need to take care of this now. And everyone's like, hey, what are you talking about? We don't know what you're thinking. It just turns into that sort of thing. Well, see, I'm thinking of different shows just because I'm rewatching a couple of them. Because honestly, I miss the era of just 22-minute episodes of things. Because
I know the feel.
Because I hate watching like 45-minute shows. But the ones I've been going back to is like the old ones from like Fox 45 and like the WB show, like Saturday morning show. But like the X-Men was one big thing. Yeah. But the first season, the series, I think that ran its course fairly well. I think it ended, because I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet, because like it covered all the bases. Like you had the Apocalypse episodes, the Dark Phoenix episodes and stuff. And the one that actually came up, I think, in 2000 was X-Men Evolution.
Oh, yeah.
And that one, I remember, ended with Apocalypse. Like that was the whole thing. But then it like teased other things that could happen, but obviously you never continued. Like, so, and I actually thought that show was a little bit charming, but yeah, that kind of just stopped, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they probably had some other X-Men thing lined up, and then they were like, well, it's time to do the same old shit again.
Yeah, pretty much, and then fail in every live-action movie for a while. I mean, the first couple live-actions are okay, but, you know, how many times can you try redoing the Phoenix Saga and fail?
Yeah.
before you realize, oh, maybe we should stop.
No, man, I think the leather, early 2000s leather outfits were a great idea.
Man, I can't. I know there's more that I really cared about when I was younger, but I they're just slipping my mind right now. But I know one that I loved, and it was always like one that competed in my mind with the Fairly Odd Parents, was Invader Zim, since they came out at the same time.
Yeah,
of course.
And I feel like Fairly Odd Parents was more mainstream because it wasn't quite as insane as Invader Zim.
Yes, yeah.
So Invader Zim definitely got the hook first. But that show was just bonkers. I loved it. It like, harkened back to like the crazy days of like Ren and Stimpy and like Rocko's Modern Life, and I just loved it because I was just like, this doesn't make any sense, and it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wasn't the last episode of Invader Zim a Christmas episode too? I think
it might have been. And that
sounds right.
That's just an amazing ending.
Because I think that was the one that was like the cybernetic Santa creature that came back, and it's like takes place in the future, and they're like, all right, kids, hide under your bed. Santa's coming.
Right. Yeah.
Just a show that was just so unhinged. I love it.
Not scientifically possible.
That was sort of a precursor to like the edgy humor that you would see in like Adult Swim. Like that was like Adult Swim humor for kids. Mm-hmm. Man, just so good. Just so like good. The way that they like portrayed everyone is just being gross and weird.
Yeah.
Like like the Chuck E. Cheese that was just really not a good place.
Yeah, gross, weird, everyone is stupid. And it's just like, I think it was like one of the episodes I remember is like they had a base that was in like a restaurant, and then it's like this tiny little kiosk in front, and he's just like, yeah, we don't have hot dogs here. Like, then what's back there? Huh, I never looked back there. And it's just this, and the kids looks like he's a burnout.
Oh my gosh.
My favorite line was like when Zim was like, something, something, to wage war with the bees. He really did like the bees.
Yeah, the number of times that I would walk into Hot Topic and see like Invader Zim and like Grr stuff just all over the place.
I mean, even to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can still find Grr merch in Hot Topic,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Invader Zim was one I never really watched. No reason why, we just never did.
Oh, John, you're coming over, we're going to watch it.
It's just wild, man.
Yeah, just a wild show.
I'm just thinking about a Santa episode again. It was just like the song that just kept going because he took the the image of Santa to get power, and so he's just like, bow down to the power of Santa or faces Jolly Boots of Doom.
It's one of those shows where you could explain any plot of an episode, and it would be so ridiculous. I'd be like, yeah, sure, of course it happened.
One thing I loved about it is it was close to my other favorite show at the time, which was like Courage the Cowardly Dog, just another completely unhinged show. Anything could happen. That was
you're not perfect.
Insane.
You'd be perfect.
You're not perfect.
Wait, what? Oh god. Yeah, but that to me that was like Nickelodeon's Courage.
Yeah, yeah. God, I'm gonna have to go back through the Courage Cowardly Dog villains.
Oh my god, Courage.
A little nostalgia trip there.
That show.
Make them NPCs in this campaign, please.
Easy. Oh, that would be easy. I'm saying,
no work.
The show was like legitimately terrifying at times.
But then it was really wholesome because like Muriel would be like, a wee bit of vinegar. Just made everything better for some reason.
God.
Tim, I remember that Pharaoh's ghost showed up. That was legit scary.
Yeah, that show.
That was a scary one. That was the scary one. Like haunts you, man. Was it the tablet? Is it?
Oh, yeah, man. He had, like, stole an Egyptian tablet or something.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, return to slab or suffer the curse. And he's like, right. What's your offer?
Yeah. What's your offer?
What's your offer?
Oh, he deserved to die.
Just return it! No!
The money.
No! It's my tablet. You can't, I'm not going to have it. I mean, useless. We need to get that guy into any situation. He'll make it right. He'll fix it up. So before we get into the episode for today, we need to talk about that we are doing our slow transition into remaster. Mm-hmm. So we were talking before about some of the rule changes that are going to be happening. We've started to use some of the terminology just because it comes up in some of the creature stat blocks. For instance, Malus was actually using the remaster rules. So he was a wizard, but he was a wizard, but he had the remaster rules used to build him. Is there any cool stuff that you guys did with your remaster conversions? Obviously some things are going to be a bit more applicable, but Paizo, bless them, did a really good job of making the seamless transition. Sometimes changing a few words, sometimes just changing slightly how a spell works. Any fun stuff that you guys noticed about the remaster?
Yeah, so I actually just converted mine to the remaster like tonight, so I don't think I still have like gone through it with a fine tooth comb, so I'll just highlight two things. My cantrip Chill Touch is no more, and it's been replaced with Void Warp. when I use it, I will go over what it does. It's pretty cool. And then the other thing that changed is I got another focus point. So I already had two. Now I have three focus points, which is awesome.
That's really cool, yeah.
I think is that
a rule for everybody, that everybody just gets like a baseline plus one to focus points?
I have no idea. I mean, I do have three focus spells, so maybe it's just you get a new focus spell, you get a new focus point.
They might have changed the rules, because I think in the original there were a couple of feats that just granted a new spell but not a focus point, and they might have changed that to if you get a feat that gives you a focus spell, you get another focus point up to three.
Mm-hmm. And that was like the hard thing about building a character, like when you wanted them to have a lot of focus points, is sometimes I would forego cool abilities because it didn't grant me another focus point. I'd go for the, you know, the other ability that did give me a focus point. So now you have it all.
And then you got it all.
And
baby,
the cool thing about focus points, which I think we have been doing this, I don't know if it's been explicitly stated, but you no longer have to. You're no longer limited to only restoring one focused point. You can restore all three. You can restore two. It just takes 10 minutes each time.
Which
is really great.
Which when that rule was there, I got why they did it, because they didn't want people just like spamming short rests or mini ten minis. That's what we called them. I was just like, you can just sleep another 10 minutes. You know. So I'm kind of glad that they made that, so in case anybody calls me out.
yeah.
Nothing changed for
yeah.
Nothing changed for Mark.
Absolutely nothing. I was like, maybe there's a nope. Nothing.
Yeah, nope. All the changes that happened to Ranger happened on things that you didn't take, except for your Hunter's Aim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it, barely.
So now your Hunter's Aim avoids soft cover,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty nice. Sweet.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's the only change, really. But I was thinking of I don't have any spells. I don't got anything else. So, but yeah, that's the one thing.
Yeah, Sorcerer, again, also did not change a lot, but a lot of my spells did, and most of the spells are basically the same. Now, Stone Skin is called Mountain's Resilience, Blink is now Flicker, so mostly just name changes. One spell that did change pretty dramatically was See Invisibility. Hmm. So See Invisibility went to See the Unseen. So See Invisibility just made for 10 minutes... invisible creatures appear to you, and also I never actually read this part, but it says concealed. So there was a concealed mischance for seeing invisibility because invisible creatures appear as translucent shapes and blurry. So I missed that. Now I know. But they buffed the spell in See the Unseen. It says, now you gaze through illusions and find invisible creatures and spirits. You can see creatures as if they are invisible, although they are blurred and concealed. Mm-hmm. You also can see incorporeal creatures like ghosts phase through an object within 10 feet of the object's surface as blurry shapes seen through objects. And you gain a +2 status bonus to checks to disbelieve illusions. Wow. So they buffed See Invisibility quite a bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and you love that spell, so that's good for you.
Yeah, it's a great spell. Other than that, a bunch of cantrips switched around. That's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, if you guys are set, let's go into the next day. So last night you guys had a much-needed rest. Some of you guys slept at a tavern nearby the Thorny Rose. Sir Thorin said that he would take up the mantle on cleaning up the Crimson Briar's base, because you guys need to get rid of some bodies.
gotta
clean some stuff up.
We never do clean up.
Oh, no. why clean up ever?
Why start now?
But what do you guys want to do this morning? One, I want to ask Elkwood, how are you feeling after your dream last night?
Annoyed, I would say. I think it's something that for Elkwood now, he was in the House of the Dreamer, he was being all comfy and shit and was like, I'm going to sleep. I've been having good dreams as of late. And then again, it's something like this kind of comes in, and it just leaves him confused when he wakes up. And he's just kind of irritated because, you start to hear voices in there, and it's just not peace. So he wakes up kind of refreshed, but kind of like that state, where you wake up after a kind of an off dream, and you're kind of okay, something has to be changed, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spends 30 minutes probably out in the drinking coffee there. I don't know. Would they appreciate caffeine in the House of Desna?
They only have tea, and it is specifically the sleepy tea.
Damn it.
Elkwood takes a sip from the wrong glass. She's like, damn it.
Hold back, sleep.
Yeah, just,
I'll be back in a couple hours. But he eventually gets his bearings for it, but he's kind of irritated about it, just because it's he just wants one good dream, and it was about to be a good dream. He's about to get that 10-point buck, and just...
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he's being talked to again, and it just, again, it's not malevolent. It doesn't feel malevolent, but it's he's being pushed into a corner, and he doesn't know what to do. But for now, he's... gonna... And honestly, one thing that bothers him too is that the prey got away. the wizard, annoying as they are. I mean, they poured it out, and it was something that, even though he hasn't done it in forever, because he hasn't been within the city of Absalom or working under his boss, it's kind of like one of those things of, I lost prey. Like, I lost what I was after, and that's gone. Mm-hmm. And I failed at it. And it's kind of leaving him annoyed and with that as well. Like, he actively wants to find this guy, because he kind of finds it unfulfilled, but has no idea where to start. Unless you have a wizard tracker.
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
Is there an app for that?
You know, the what's the thing where the people hold the two, like, copper rods?
Dousing?
Dowsing rods,
yeah.
fake rods. Stuff that doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, John, I saw it on a home building TV show, so it definitely works.
My boss has dowsing rods in his truck. I'm just like,
Well, yeah, I mean, so, you know, how does everyone else wake up?
So,
great.
Grimshaw, he kind of cut loose a little bit with Sir Thorn, you know, with an old friend. He didn't go too crazy, but, you know, he did, like, let his hair down, so to speak, you know, for the first time in over a month, because he's just been, you know, living the road life and dodging death at every turn. He still feels... He feels slightly disconnected from Sir Thorn, just knowing that he did intentionally deceive him about the fate of their comrades. But he's got to live with that. So he wakes up a little worse for wear, and because this is a... Whether or not it's an official temple of Caden, I'm sure they got a strong pot of coffee brewing, and he's hitting that up. Getting himself some greasy scrapple too.
Yeah, Kezra is gonna. I'm gonna roll to see how hungover I am. So
I had to punch you out. So
yeah, that's true. I forgot.
Yeah, it probably hurts, but so, it might not be the.
Kezra wakes up like an awful headache, and his like face is all bruised up, and he is going to roll 11 or better. Oh, got a 5. So Kezra feels like shit. So let me give myself a sickened condition for a little bit.
There you go.
Until I get a good breakfast and find my pants.
Hey, just gotta worship Caden and then get that nice perk of no hangovers.
It's all it takes.
Yeah, Kezra wanders down from his room. He's got like the blanket wrapped around, just like tied around his waist because he has no pants.
Right.
Bench and throws in your pants.
Oh, thanks. I didn't have any backups.
I keep a tracker on them.
That's what friends are for. That's what a good drinking buddy's for.
Yep.
Ants watcher.
Yeah, you see...
Ants watcher.
Grimshaw motions to the, you know, the barkeep and is like, could you get a plate for my friend? He had a rough night. Any motions to Kezra? And just
I was gonna say, yeah, they bring out all the good stuff that you would expect after a night of drinking, which is the grease, the carbs, the protein. Yeah,
my go-to is a scrapple egg and cheese burrito.
That's a good.
You see, Kezra just like at the table, like his head is just like hung over the plate. He's like, he's like somewhat eating, and then just kind of sitting there with his eyes closed. It's like, greasy bread in his mouth.
Listen, corned beef hash and eggs mixed together into like one nice meaty mash. That is a good hangover cure.
That is a good one.
I feel like Kezra's the kind of guy who will wake up like this and be like, I'm never drinking again, and then just grab ale.
Oh, no, I was going to say, he has some beer.
Oh, yeah, it's your morning beer.
He has good morning beer. Good stout.
Good steak, eggs, and beer in the morning.
What about second breakfast beer?
All right, so you guys are sitting there in the tavern in the morning. I'd say it's about 8 a.m., probably a little after that, when Kezra comes down. What are you guys going to do today?
I guess Grimshaw will look around. Elkwood, has he shown up to the... Was it the Moldy Barrel, was it, Jake? Yeah,
yes,
or is he still in the Dream House?
No, he's at the Dream House. One last thing he's going to do at the Dream House is definitely warn the cleric. But what all I remember that the cleric's name was Hank Hill's brother.
Oh, Gregory.
Gregory Hill, because he makes good mattresses and mattress accessories. But he is going to, I guess, warn them and see if they will relay anything to him if they happen to see a wizard. And he will describe the guy as well. God, I'm liking Malice? What's his name?
Malice. M-A-E-L-I-S, yeah.
Yeah, and he will just say, like, if you ever see him, do not trust him.
Yeah, so he kind of, you give him a description, and he's kind of like, yeah, no, don't know if I remember that guy, but, you know, if any of our practitioners come by and tell us, so we'll make sure to put a word out.
Good. Thank you.
Old Malice, that boy ain't right.
that boy ain't right.
That boy ain't right.
He just needs a nap.
I mean, he probably does, after the beating we gave him.
I know.
Yeah, after that, he'll return to the moldy barrel. Mm.
All right.
Follow the smell of sweat and alcohol.
Yeah, I imagine, like, you know, like, since you said it's, you know, after 8 a.m., like, the town is probably pretty lively right now. Grimshaw just kind of, like, maybe looks over at Kezra or Benson and is like, oh, I forgot how loud this place gets. The wide open roads made everything was so quiet out there, but by the gods, this is not the time for it. Ugh.
I've spent plenty of times in temples of Caden Killian, and I'm pretty used to it. I'd have to go drag my sister out.
All right, your sister. I don't know if you mentioned that you had a sister. At least, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Were you too?
Lionel Black.
She was at the keep.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
When you were there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I was going to say,
did you take a head wound?
I really got knocked over pretty bad last night.
Well, I know the best thing to do after massive head trauma is consume large amounts of alcohol.
I think I'll pass, but I think Kessler's already got started on that.
That Grimshaw ain't right.
Grimshaw ain't right.
So one thing that we have not addressed in the normal circumstances is that, Benson, you are still cursed with the witch flame.
So you're just glowing?
Yeah, there's a slight green flame emanating from him at all times.
Benson, kind of badass. Can you turn that off? Can you turn off? I'm trying to sleep. Benson.
Think about how hard it was for him to sleep.
Yeah.
So, do I just, like, close my eyes?
Right, just like, if I close my eyes, yeah. Do I see green flames in my eyelids?
Oh. Now we're breaking into some, like, technical rules here.
Right.
And so we really gotta do something about your glow. I don't mean it as a compliment. I mean it as, like, we gotta do something about that curse.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a bad blow-up.
Okay. The vibes are off, that's all I'm saying.
I happen to be aware that being cursed is a bad thing.
Do you have... You must have some contacts here which you can call upon to remove this curse. You are Sir Benson Black, after all. Of the House Black. He who wears the cloak.
Okay, you're gonna have to stop doing that.
Grimshaw stands up.
Do you know who this is?
Do you know who you are? Yeah, I guess Benson will see if he can find a temple in Iomide in here to get this curse taken care of.
I think you might have mentioned, Jake, that there isn't one.
Yes, yeah. There is not. So it says, worship. So after enacting martial law, I went back to the wiki just to kind of read
this. Is this wiki outdated, though? Because this is, when I was reading the wiki, it kind of sounded like it was still written under the guise of it being under Chillaxian control.
Here's the thing. It usually does talk about, like, where things have come from there, okay. Too. So, but. After enacting martial law in 4715 AR, Lord Marathrum mandated the registration of all worshippers of Shaylin and monitoring all Shaylinite religious services. Worship of deities aligned with the freedom or rebellion, including Galistria, Caden Kalian, Desna, Milani, and Sarenrae, are strictly outlawed. The Silver Star Shop and popular Sarenite shrine, owned by local opera singer Star Shensen, was burned to the ground during the Night of Ashes, when agents of Barzilai Throne also attacked local cults devoted to Milani and Iori. This is to say that those things aren't as prominent because they were like pushed out. So for the most part, when it comes to like the religion here, you can definitely find like Asmodeus, Asmodeus, Zangkuthon, Abadar, and then the Shaylin did get some stuff back in, So this says that under the seditious acts of the Glorious Third Reclamation, even worship of Iomedae remained legal if rare. So it doesn't have as far of a reach as like other faiths, but still the Church of Asmodeus is like still the biggest thing.
The Prince of Law.
Yeah, I think that's just the part that just like, I don't know, it doesn't jive with me. I feel like if a city kind of underwent something so tumultuous, that there'd be, I don't know, people seeing this as an opportunity to, you know, start something new here. But I don't know, maybe. What do you know? What the year is, Jake? The current year.
So the year is. Oh man. So
what year is it?
This came out in 2019, mm-hmm. So it would be 4719 or something like that.
So it's only been like 4 years after.
So it's still pretty fresh. I'm sure somebody will say something different.
So like if it was like 10 years later, I'd be like, oh yeah, Iomedae's here. But because it's still so recent, but I understand. Okay.
Well, you have Abadar.
God, if you got the coin, you got Abadar. But I guess.
So yeah, Zangvan, Abadar, or Asmodeus.
Hmm. Asmodeus would try to trick you into some. You'd get another curse. You trade one.
Zangvan did.
Yeah, I'll remove that. Oh, great.
Yeah, Zangvan will like pour like napalm on you or something to try to remove it.
I mean, there's also Shaylin.
Yeah, Shaylin. Shaylin would be good.
Yeah, we could try that.
Yeah.
All right, so you go to it's an art house. It's a big building where the entire side of it is painted in this beautiful mural. The inside of it is decorated constantly. There's people that are constantly doing art and stuff like that. It's what you'd expect out of
Shaylin. God, these pretentious fucks. I'm going to Asmodeus.
derivative.
Bullshit.
Art is pain. You get there. There are some practitioners and clerics. Did we? Oh, you know what? I didn't do it. I didn't find out how much that would be. Mm. Oh, so this would be remove curse.
Oh, that's a 6 level spell. It's up there, isn't it?
I was gonna say, Chaldean. Do you remember what spell level that is?
Sure. Give me a second.
Remove curse. I got it here. Remove curse is a 4th level spell.
Oh, 4th. Okay.
Okay, yeah,
so I overshot that.
Not as bad.
But what level?
This is really the worst part about Adela's death, because he would have been able to do that for me.
What level is the curse?
That is a good point. Let me go back to Witchfire. Let's see. So a Witchfire. That's where it is. Witch Flame. Curse, Fire, Necromancy, Occult. It doesn't say what spell it is, so I guess it would just be the creature's spell, or the creature's level.
It'd be half the creature's level rounded up.
Half the creature's level rounded up. So this would be a 5th level curse.
So you could pay for a 4th level, remove curse, but it would have a lesser chance of success, or you could pay for a higher level one, which will be more likely to succeed.
Yep, so it would be... spellcasting a 5th level, if you want to go for like the higher chance here, spellcasting a 5th level is 80 gold pieces plus any cost required to cast the specific spell, which does not seem to have...
Actually, a fourth level would be fine, because a success is as long as the level's no more than one higher.
Oh, okay. So...
You can be... So going up to a 5th level would not really help anything. It would go up, going up to a 6th level would heal it on a failure.
Okay. So you go in and you explain your situation, and they gather the artist and the bards around, and they begin to sing a mantra over you.
First they want to draw you, though.
Naked. Yeah. They go...
Naked Benson, with the flame around
Benson,
you.
You're really... attractive. Could you stand up there on that pedestal? Now, give me a pose. Show me your strength.
I hate everything about this.
There's a bunch of artists just, like, patiently waiting.
Benson, these people hold a lot of sway in the city. You would do well to do as they say.
Benson strikes a pose.
Everyone goes, Your chiseled muscles and sculpted frame amaze them all.
I wonder if I could lead a crusade back to this city afterwards.
after they cast the spell over you, they put one of their hats in front of you and ask for 40 gold pieces.
I give them 50.
Oh wow!
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah. Ooh, some money bags over here.
I know.
Patron of the arts.
I really don't spend money on that much. Besides, I'm rich anyway.
Right.
That's true.
There, you want a castle? Have a castle. I don't care.
I got 3 of them. All right, so you you come out with you put makeup on you, I guess. You can walk up with a fire crown.
Nice.
That's what it is. you look glorious. But you are cured of your witchfire curse.
Hooray.
So, what do you guys want to do now that you have taken care of Benson? I'd say it's about 10 a.m., so it took some time to walk, took some time to do the remove curse, blah, blah, blah.
From my perspective, all signs lead to Sunset Imports. I said we gather some intel, see what we can find out. You said your cloaks got connections there. Huberk was supposed to meet someone there. I wonder if Malus is hanging around there. Just think it's our next best lead. If any of you all have another suggestion, I'm open to it.
That sounds like a perfectly sound idea to me.
I think that's where we go.
Yes, I'm here too. he appears. He finds you at least. But yes, I told people around the Dream House to keep an eye out for Malus as well. But yes, let's continue on.
Okay. So you guys are on your way to Sunset Imports. You said you want to do some gather information, kind of ask around.
Yeah, I'm going to use my exploration ability, which is gather discreet inquiry. So that means I can gather information and then without people determining my true intention unless they succeed against my deception DC.
Cool. All right, so go ahead and roll diplomacy to gather information, or society to recall knowledge about this. I will say that you get a bonus just from being here.
Yep. Old home turf bonus. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's pretty good. so without Adding any Jake bonus, that is a 31.
Damn.
Okay, so with the Jake bonus, that does turn into a critical success.
Ooh.
Success is Sunset Imports has been operated by the Varshnasteel family for decades, during which time it's been a leading business in Cantargo, bringing in Arcadian goods for distribution throughout Chiliax. The business's foremost client used to be House Thrun, but now that Ravenel has succeeded from Chiliax and ties with House Thrun have become complicated, Sunset Imports has fallen on hard times. What you get from a critical success, ooh, however, is the Varshnasteels have long been proud citizens of Cantargo, but their business's financial dependency on House Thrun made some in the family less than enthusiastic participants in the recent rebellion that resulted in Ravenel's independence. Unfortunately, even before Ravenel's freedom was established, House Thrun canceled all of Sunset Imports' contracts, costing the business most of their income. The Varshnasteels responded by working hard to secure an exclusive contract with the city's new leadership, the Silver Council. In traditional Chilexian fashion, the Varshnasteels sponsored a theatrical banquet and other expensive entertainments. While Ravenel's government, dedicated to the principles of liberty in mercantile pursuits, was eager to establish a tradition against exclusive contracts. The Varshnasteels came off as old-fashioned and decidedly unpatriotic, costing the family contracts with the Silver Council as well. Today, Sunset Imports is a struggling business. The current owner of Sunset Imports, Sandrani Varshnasteel, continues to carry herself like a Chilaxian aristocrat, seemingly unaware that she's out of fashion, if not downright offensive, in the reborn city. Rumors that Sunset Imports have taken on a mysterious new client have begun to circulate on the streets.
They're trading people. No joke, though. That's probably what's happening, and I felt bad for these people up until that point.
Oh, definitely. Is there a way like an underworld check would do anything to, or no?
He already got a critical success, I would say that. You know what? Go ahead and roll me one, actually.
You know, if these people are secretly trafficking people, I do not feel bad any longer for taking his cloak.
That's a 26 underworld.
26. What you learn from that is just that you find that people are. People have talked about that the Sunset Imports seems to be doing business outside of the usual business hours.
So they're almost as bad as Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, depending on how you receive that sort of information, like just by finding an unswarthy looking person. But yeah, he relays that as well.
So Sunset Imports is like by the docks and stuff, right?
Yeah, so actually I can show you on the map.
Oh, cool, that's kind of like what Kezra wanted to go to when we first got here, was the docks.
Oh my god, on this map we're probably 80 feet tall.
We're colossus.
Oh, they've already made statues of you in the harbor.
We could rule them like gods. Angry gods.
I just like them on the map. It says Lady to Curse School for Girls.
That is a very, very important place. Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's right above your
over here in the northwest.
Sounds like lady. Something from an anime.
It does
sound like straight out of an anime. But here's the Alabaster Academy. This is where you guys were before. So just to the south of the Alabaster Academy actually is the Sunset Imports. So you can see it's right there. Right when you come into the Yolubilis River, it sort of splits off. So the river actually just kind of goes around all of the southern side of Cantargo. So you see Castle Cantargo there on the peninsula on the southern side of the city. So right to the east of Castle Cantargo is Sunset Imports. It looks like a pretty large, pretty profitable, or I should say once profitable, a shipping company.
That's like prime harbor real estate, too. That's right at the front. Yes. It's a big building. They're paying a lot to have that space.
Mm. Yeah. Well, remember, it's old money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the that's been, you know, generational wealth. Mm. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm looking around this map, and one thing that gives me pause, Jake, is the People's Temple.
What about it?
Should we worry about a man named Jim Jones in there?
Stop spoiling the final boss.
They're the second
worst.
He'll
kill himself.
They're the second worst cult in this city.
No, the demon that's inside of him is the final boss. Mark, that's what I mean. All right, so if you guys make your way directly to Sunset Imports, then I will move you over to the map.
All right. Oh, we only have to take 5-foot movements, and we could just step over to it.
Yeah, right.
Goose, goose, goose.
Causing tidal waves.
You guys didn't tell me this was a city Vance.
All right. So I have moved you over to the Sunset Imports map. Let me know what you can see and when.
I can see a giant wall of darkness.
It's a very large map.
It is a very large map.
Oh my god! Yes, it is. Like,
outrageously.
So I put you on the west side of the building. It's quite large.
I can see outside the building. Everything else is darkness.
I can measure the whole thing for you. So this warehouse itself is 175 feet long, 55 feet wide, and three docks are coming off on the southern side of it. So there's obviously more warehouses than there's just this one. This is the main one. This is where, like, you know, everyone brings their business to, and then they talk to people. So, let me go ahead and read you the flavor text. This 30-foot-high building stands at the harbor's edge. Large rectangular windows alternate the elegant pilasters along the building's facade of silver-streaked stone, and an enormous 15-foot-tall double door facing west is flung wide, revealing an intricately woven carpet that stretches into the subdued golden light of the interior. Upbeat Varisian mandolin music beckons from within. So I closed the door to it, but I will open it so that you guys can see inside. And so you may now see inside of it. I believe you guys can see in. Yep.
Damn, it's a Persian rug.
It's just, like, open to the public. It's not, like, a barred door. But you can just, like, walk in.
No. As you guys can walk in at your leisure.
Game is paused for me.
No, it's not.
Oh,
how about now?
It did something. I don't know where my icon is, though.
Well, you don't see Elkwood right here?
No.
You could actually get from here in here.
Actually, before we go
gonna...
Before we go in, Elk, do you want us to take this in you? Maybe do some stealthing.
Sure. No, that sounds like a good idea. If there's anything unscrupulous, it would be on the back end, probably.
Yeah, maybe while we talk and gather some info, you can just snoop. And he'll cast invisibility on you.
Okay,
so I'll stop you there for 1 second. While you guys are outside, you hear someone walking from within, and you hear them walking to the front. And you see... this woman.
She looks lovely.
Aw, she does look lovely. So you see a Vudrani woman. She's dressed in beautiful silks, nice like golden trim with like this like a seafoam color to it. Nice bangles and jewels on her rings and wrist, and long dangly diamond earrings, gems all over. She even has like a little circlet on her head that is woven through her hair, and the veil covering her head too is made of very, very expensive looking fabrics. And so as you guys were sort of pussing around outside for a second, she comes out, reveal her token, and she begins walking up to you all, and she looks at you all, and she goes, can I help you with anything? I'm very sorry to say, but
Are you lost? I am Lady Sedrani Varsnostil, the owner of this establishment, and I assure you that there is little here to interest anyone of your... She looks you up and down. Pedigree. Good day. You may please leave the premises.
I think we do have business to talk about. My name...
No, I'm certain that you don't, sir. If you would please move along and go somewhere else. There are plenty of other businesses here that might contract whatever you might want with your fashion senses.
My name is Sir Benson Black. Now, she might actually know that name, because the Black family is not just outside of being, like, paladins all the time. They own several manufacturing businesses, and the biggest export is actually weaponry.
Well, very well, Mr. Black, but I assure you we have nothing here of interest. So if you would please move along. And she's sort of, like, trying to, like, she puts her arms out and is sort of, like, ushering you away.
What kind of businesswoman says no to money?
One that's trying to hide something.
Yep, great point.
Kesra will detect magic.
She does not have any magic on her, necessarily. You do sense what seems like... there's a ping of magic just inside the building. It's very light, though. It doesn't seem like... I don't know how to say this in a non-metagaming way, but it's not, like, dangerous magic, if you catch my drift.
Is it... I can learn. It's the school, I think.
Okay. So...
It's a magic purifier, okay? They just have the water in there, and it just keeps purifying.
Yeah, it's a Keurig.
It's just a ring that gets rid of the wrinkles under her eyes.
Let's see. So
if it's illusion, I only detect it if it's a lower level than my spell.
Right. I'm trying to find where this thing is. This is in the showroom. There we are. It's enchantment.
Okay. If you guys are doing anything, Kesra's just gonna fucking push past her.
So before you push past her, he's kind of like reading your temperature, and Grimshaw interjects and is like,
"As you may know, there's been a ambassador of the Umbral Court." Right, Umbral Court, is that?
Umbral Court, yeah.
Right.
Nidal. There's been an ambassador from Nidal that has recently made his voyage here, and we were his escorts. You know, he comes on business of trade, and he knows that you're in the business of trade, so you wanted us to scope the place out for safety reasons. You know, you wouldn't want anything happening in a strange place without the Umbral Court's knowledge, so we're just here to check things out. We're just doing our job. You can let us do our job, and we'll be on our way.
And he's gonna make a deception roll.
Okay.
Oh, that's when I needed the nat 20, and that is when I got the 3. So I am gonna use my hero point. Because gosh right, darn it, I just want to—I just want to get a pass in here, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. He tacks on.
You know, I hate the bureaucracy as much as you do, but we're just gonna check the place out and be on our way. Promise we won't convince you too much.
And I got a 37.
37. That is incredibly a critical success, actually. So she sort of is like, "Well, I assure you that there's nothing in here. Come, you may look here in the foyer. You know, the showroom here has plenty for you to look at, but I assure you that there's nothing here. In fact, I do have some people coming over soon, so perhaps if you just take a quick look, and then you may be on your way." No.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna say to Kesra in double speak. I'm gonna say,
"Hey, you. We don't need you for this. Why don't you get lost. And what I'm actually saying is, turn some people invisible and let's take a peek inside.
All right, well, Elk's already invisible.
Oh, Elk is already invisible. I'm sorry, I missed that. Can you turn yourself invisible too?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, better.
I could also teleport inside.
You could also just teleport.
That's true.
I have a dimension door wand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Vimir is going to fly to the top of the building.
Gagoosh. Please remove your bird from my warehouse, huh?
Whose bird?
We don't know that bird. It's got a bangle, it's registered with the city.
She points at the tag, and then points at the tag on your wrist.
Wait, on whose wrist?
Ma'am. On whose wrist?
No, Elkwood's invisible.
I'm invisible.
That's for the joke.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's not a bird, that's a fucking kaiju.
Who brought the dinosaur again to my warehouse, huh?
Okay.
All right, so you guys go into the, showroom. A multitude of luxury home goods fill this showroom. Rugs in vibrant geometrical patterns cover the floor. A mandolin standing atop a stone pillar emits a lively tune on its own.
Aw.
That's the enchantment,
That's
probably.
Cool.
That is the enchantment.
The first radio.
Yeah. So as you guys walk in, and she's sort of like, she's very, very irritated at this whole thing, but because he critically succeeded, she's just kind of like giving him. Benson, do you have your cloak visible?
No, it's actually underneath my house cloak.
Okay. Are you hiding it for any reason? Is my
yes,
question.
I'm hiding it. Okay. I'm not giving her the fucking cloak back.
So as you guys walk in, she's very boorish and rude about this whole thing. Yeah. She's sort of just like, if you wanted fashion, which you clearly need, there is a good friend of ours down the road that I know that they import things from Vujani and some Vujani goods. I know that there's some Osirian things. I'm sure that there's some things from Absalom as well. Some of the highest clothes that you could muster with as a name such as, what was the name again? She's being a little rude to you, Benson.
Madam, I can assure you this will go no faster with you talking.
About this. This is a showroom. We understand that. Thank you for showing us around, but we're gonna need to see where business is usually conducted. If we're gonna have an ambassador from Nidal here, we're gonna need to, you know, secure the perimeter, that sort of thing, you know, routine stuff. I'm sorry, just, you can just show us where you guys conduct business. I mean, just like, let us peek around, you know, that sort of thing. We'll be on our way.
Go ahead and make me a perception check to see what her deal
sure.
is at this point.
She just sounds like a Karen.
Not that perceptive with a 23.
23 is enough. Whoa. She's not very good at hiding this. She seems very nervous, perhaps hiding something, and she really wants you guys to just leave. Benson, if you would like to roll as well. Let me say that she doesn't really seem like she's trying to hide something like from you guys. It looks like she's just nervous that anyone is here at all.
You said perception?
Yeah, this would be perception, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be at 23.
Okay. I'll say this, that the two of you knowing people pretty well, and you guys have, you know, dealt with this kind of stuff enough, you guys realize that she is honestly terrified that you guys are going to find something.
Is she eyeing any particular door? Like, does she glance over?
She's positioning herself with the door that would lead to, like, the warehouse. And so she's, you know, trying to... She's positioning herself as the best, like, make you guys, like, you know, turn away from that. So that way you guys are just checking out the goods and the things here in the showroom and stuff like that. But she is honestly... completely terrified of whatever is behind her in the warehouse.
You want to drop the act?
I'm going to double speak to her, but also to Kezer, who is invisible in the room. And I'm going to say,
after we check out here, we should probably just do like a once over the warehouse and then we'll be on our way.
And that is my double speak, is open the door to the warehouse. So that hopefully, like, if something flies, you know, if the door flies open and we get a peek inside and there's something immediately, like, there, that I'd position myself towards the south. I think this is the warehouse door is, like, right here towards the south end.
Okay. So the warehouse door is on the southern side of the eastern wall.
I'm like positioning myself like I'm looking at the stuff over here, just kind of casually making conversation. But the double speak to Kezra is to open that door. And then I'll just kind of glance back and like, oh, it must have been the wind or something, you know, like.
Gotcha. So Kezra, you wanna try to stealthily open this door?
Yeah. Well, God, he's terrible stealth.
I could.
That's true. Yeah, maybe Al can stealthily open the door.
Yeah, I'll double speak to stealth. Double speak to Al.
Oh, I rolled a 10 on stealth. That's a 48.
It's just like if Kezra comes over and Kezra's just like about to put his hand there and Elk just slaps it away real fast. He's like,
stop! Stop it! Stop.
Let me do it. Let me do my thing. You said a stealth check?
So go and roll a stealth check.
32.
32. Okay, so she is unaware of your presence. But I'll say that you, with your perception, you can see that she is like eyeing the door as she's like talking to them. So while you are completely unperceptive or unperceived by her, you're like, I don't know if I could open this door without her at least hearing it.
Seems like we need a distraction. Like invisible Kezra knocking something over.
Kezra is just going to kick this door open really loud.
As it kicks open, like,
must have been the wind.
Maybe I could, like, nod to Benson to, like, act surprised, or maybe I'll act surprised too, like, yeah, what was that? What's going on here?
Benson will pull the sword out.
That's must have been a very strong wind that came through here.
I like to think
it's a wind love it that if breaks just, the hinges.
I would love it if just a gorilla walked out.
Oh, that stupid gorilla! I always forget to lock him up.
That's perfectly legal. All right, carry on.
So does
that's acceptable.
He got into the ketamine.
Does she come, or is she still kind of defending the door?
She's still kind of defending the warehouse door.
Kezra's going to walk into this hallway and open this door to the right.
She looks around at you guys and she goes, just please leave now. I will not ask again. You are not allowed here.
And she's starting to cry at this point.
All right. Time to just kill her.
Do it.
Yeah. What? I mean, like...
Tim, Mark what? Said kill her and John said do it and Tim went what?
You have to free her from her sadness.
I want to see what Kezra has found before we move on to
fair enough. All right,
Benson all right, begins to walk towards that door that flew open.
Okay, all right, well, let me deal with Kezra here. So, Kezra, you go through this tiny little hallway. This hallway is called Hallway. Imagine that. This hall is lined with shelves crammed with old ledgers, rolled rugs, urns, and stacks of wooden boxes. The shelves reach nearly to the ceiling, 25 feet overhead.
Ooh.
This is like, if you've ever been in, like, the back room of, like, a grocery store, or like a you know warehouse, obviously, but like you know huge shelves, just lots and lots of stuff on them. So this is where like the little stuff is, because obviously this hallway is only 5 feet wide. As you go through, there are multiple doors all the way down here. The first one that you come to, there's doors that lead out. On the north side of this hallway, but there are three doors on the south side.
All right, yeah. So he opened the first door to the south. because he got got the general sense that the other woods were leading outside.
Yeah. So if you open up the first door, this office is appointed with intricate rugs and wall hangings. A wooden desk and a chair sit in the southeast.
I'm detecting magic. Is there anything in this room?
There is nothing magic in this room.
All right, Kesra is going to cast See the Unseen on himself.
Hmm.
Okay.
Just in case.
Just in case.
It's good. Good idea.
Let me see something really quick. What's the range on that, by the way?
So See the Unseen is you can see incorporeal creatures through an object as long as they're within 10 feet of the object's surface.
Okay. And what about detect magic?
That's 30 feet.
30 feet. So, okay.
The 30-foot emanation, by the way.
Right. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, you see an office.
All right, he's going to... he just hears conversations still going on out there?
Yeah, so there's still conversations going on out there. Let's go back to them. Okay. So, the three of you are still in this room, and Benson and Grimshaw, she's tears welling up in her eyes as she's just begging you to leave.
What's going on here? This is just a routine inspection. Like, is everything okay? Like, are you in danger? What's going on?
The moment you say, "Are you in danger?" she falls to her knees. And she looks behind her at the warehouse door, and she goes, Please help me. Those men, they came here, they tricked us. They tricked me and my family, they took over our business.
Who tricked you?
These men with the symbol. They've been using our warehouse with nefarious things, they won't even let me back there anymore.
I think you might need to get to safety, ma'am, Benson says as he pulls out his sword.
So she just... She looks back and forth at you guys as she goes, "Please, my family's fallen on hard times, but we had no choice, we thought. Everything seemed fine at first, and then..." She's just weaving now.
Are these members of the Scarlet Triad? Mm-hmm. What was the name of the...
Yeah.
These members of the Scarlet Triad?
They were just the Merchant Guild. They were just merchants at first, but they did not tell me what they traded.
Can I do a perception check to see if she's like... If I can suss out that it seems like she actually was deceived, or if, like, she's feigning to try to get out of the situation?
Can't even trust a weeping lady on her knees.
This is Grimshaw, okay? Like, he can't trust anybody. He's got problems. He's got issues.
Does Timmy method act with his wife?
23. Not the greatest perception.
23. You feel like these are the most real tears fueled by fear.
I guess...
How many are in the back?
It's like, what could I do? It's like, I know, like, the Scarlet Triad's everywhere. It's like, on the one hand, I don't want her to stay here because it's not safe. On the other hand, I don't even want to send her away.
Well, that's what Benson said when he said you should get somewhere safe. The door's open, lady. Get out of here.
I guess the Triad wouldn't suspect her immediately to have sold them out. So, I think I'm gonna say to her,
Go to the Thorny Rose Tavern in town. Tell them I sent you. Tell them everything, and we'll get this sorted out here.
She, as you lean down to Hawk to talk to her, she just kind of like puts her hands and these like gentle long fingers and these like finely groomed nails, and she just like puts them on your shoulder and like pulls herself up like with you. And she just looks at you and she just...
"We were desperate to stay in business, you have to understand.
We had unpaid bills, outstanding shipments, more goods that would fit in the warehouse, and no one would buy them.
Man.
The Scarlet Triad seemed like the only way forward. We just really had no idea what they were really like. I'm not part of any other frightful activities. I just want them gone. But instead, they've taken over.
I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. It's not my place. That's the job of others to decide what will happen. I hope they show lenience for your sake. But I cannot guarantee. I just know that you're not safe here. Go, take this.
And he pulls out of his robe. It looks to be kind of like a petrified, dried rose. And he's like,
you show this to them, and they'll know that I sent you. Perhaps you can begin to right some of your wrongs. But until we figure out what all that's going on here, get on now.
She takes the rose, and it's like a glimmer of hope to her. She just says, as she's like leaving,
I would give anything. I would give up this business, which has been my whole life, just to reverse this whole sordid mess.
As she exits the showroom.
Well, Grimshaw, it looks like we've got some work to do.
Kezra, Rashad, get over here.
While that conversation's happening, Kezra opens the next door.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah, he does.
He's all the way down there.
Agent of Chaos.
You were detecting magic, right?
I am detecting magic.
All right, so Kezra, you do feel magic behind the door in the center of the warehouse, you think.
I mean, I think I'm like Grimshaw, Benson, Elkwood. I think we're kind of trust our instincts that perhaps Kezra is going to be close behind us, if not right on time. So I think Benson, Grimshaw looks at you and is like,
all right, you ready?
Benson throws his shoulder into the door.
And at the same time, Kezra, you open the door, I assume?
Yep.
All right. As you open the door, you see a massive warehouse with boxes stacked to the ceiling, and you see what appears to be this thing standing in the center of the room.
Oh my gosh.
Yay.
This is a large man made of stone.
I feel like when they write these stories, we need to throw combat at them that really makes them angry.
I'll just sit this combat out.
Well, I'll say this.
Oh, no.
This golem will be a bit harder than the ones that you dealt with last time.
Oh. Yeah, you will.
That's the wrong answer.
Mm-hmm. I'll see you guys next week.
Fuck you.
Just let us play one round, Jake. One round so we know how screwed we are.
Incoming a three-episode combat.
Let's do five.
Hello, friends. This is John, the voice of Sir Benson Black of the Dragon Punch Squad podcast. I'm here to let you know that we are partnered with the amazing dice makers at Greenleaf Geek. If you want some amazing handcrafted dice, just go there and use the code DragonPunchSquad at checkout to get 10% off. Happy rolling.